All right, good morning, everybody. Hope you are doing well. We've had some great weather this weekend that we are thankful for, too. And as Mimi mentioned, we have some people joining us from our sister churches in Austin as well as in Ann Arbor. If you don't know me, I'm Pastor Sam here, pastor of Harvest Mission Community Church of Detroit. And we've been going over a sermon series called Consider Before Voting. We've been talking about how this year is an election year. Some of us know even a couple weeks ago we had the presidential debate. And we want to know, what are the things we need to consider before voting? Many of you know every election year, it's crazy. The messaging out there, people trying to get you to vote one way or the other. And we as Christians have to think about, what does God say with regards to a lot of these topics and issues that are going on? And so we've talked about life, as well as the sanctity of life, as well as how to interact and think about sojourners or foreigners living among us. We've talked about sexuality. Last week, Pastor Josh preached on poverty. And today, we're finishing out our series with this question that's going to kind of wrap everything up, which is, what kind of people will we be as we go about our lives and as we think about voting? What kind of people will we be? Actually, yesterday, after our barbecue, which shout out to God, through the barbecue, we had someone come to know Christ. Let's give a praise offering to the Lord. That's awesome, right? Like, we're just out there having fun, and with the partnership that we had from Refuge Church and the DSMP team, it's amazing that we got to see one of these young men give their life to the Lord. And so, praise God for that. Afterwards, after that long, tiring barbecue, we went to the Riverwalk. And, you know, many of us, when you're at the Riverwalk, you know that when you see all of these people, they could be from anywhere. Now, we were just talking about how we're right across from Canada. You can't even tell when people are walking by if they're Canadian citizens, American citizens. Nowadays, we have so many visitors and tourists from Europe, from Asia, all around. And you can't really tell at first glance where people are from. But I think if you had a moment to kind of listen into their conversation, you would start getting clues to see whether or not they're from Detroit, right? Like, if someone was like, man, I got to go to my Airbnb on Livernois Avenue. You're like, that person is probably not from Detroit, you know? Or if they're having a conversation and they're like, you know, I don't understand. How come there's a 8 mile and a 7 mile, but I never see a 6 mile. I never see a 5 mile. You'd be like, okay, maybe they're not from here, right? On the flip side, if you're listening into their conversation and you hear a lot of like, what up though? You know, you're like, oh, maybe they might be from around here, right? You can slowly, even as you hear conversations, as you see how people act, there are things that people from Detroit do and say that give you a clue to kind of what kind of people they are and where they're from. And today what we're going to see in the Bible is that even more so, Christians should have a distinctness to them because they're Christians. We're going to be looking at Philippians chapter 3, verse 17 to 21. You can turn to your Bibles, or it'll be up here on the screen. But as we look into that passage, the one thing we're going to see is that Christians should live differently because we are citizens of heaven. Christians should live differently because we're citizens of heaven. Just like people from Detroit have a distinctness to them, or people from Texas have a distinctness to them, or people from Canada have a distinctness to them, eh? Right? Like, there's a distinctiveness that Christians should have. And so please join me here in Philippians chapter 3. Verse 17 to 21, it's going to be on the screen. This is what the word of the Lord says. It says, brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. For many of whom I have often told you and now tell you even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction. Their God is their belly. And they glory in their shame with minds set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. Please join me in prayer as we continue on in God's word. Father, we come to you this morning and we are thankful. We are thankful that we have life that you have given us, and we're thankful that we can celebrate with the angels that there's been one more lost sheep added to your flock. Lord, we pray that as we are here gathered under your word, we pray that you would use your Holy Spirit to impart your truth deeply into our hearts. that even as we've been studying in life group, that we would not just be hearers of the word, but doers of the word, that your word would breathe life into our lives and direct our very steps, that we might live a life worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, would you do that today and minister to us through your word? We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. This passage comes from the book of Philippians. Some of you may know, some of you may not, but the Philippians is a letter that the Apostle Paul is writing to a church in the city of Philippi. And one thing that's important about Philippi that you'll see later is that Philippi was a Roman colony. Back then, there was an important battle that was won in the city of Philippi. And so Philippi, even though it was in this area that would kind of be modern-day Europe, it was a Roman colony. And a lot of people there had Roman citizenship. And so Paul is writing to this church that has a lot of Roman influences that are there. And he's writing about how they should live in contrast to the people around them. So we're going to see three things in this passage today. The first thing that we see is that many people go against Jesus in the way that they live. Many people go against Jesus in the way that they live. You know, obviously, I think when we hear that, we think, you know, of course, people who are not Christian, they're going to live in a way that goes against Jesus. And we see that a lot in our culture now, right? People who are not Christian, they're going to live in a way. Nothing. Like, those things are like a drop in the bucket compared to the hope and security you have as citizens of the kingdom. But we see also that he points out the real Savior that we have is Jesus, right? The real leader, the real king that we look to is the Lord Jesus Christ, not the political leaders that we have here. One of the funny Easter eggs you have in this passage is that back in that day, people referred to Caesar as a savior, right? So when they talked about savior, the immediate thought would have been the savior, Caesar. But what does Paul say? It's like, we await from heaven a savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's kind of like if we said, like, we are awaiting the true commander-in-chief, Jesus Christ. Right? We're not talking about an American president. We're not talking about Biden or Trump. He's saying the true commander-in-chief, the Savior that we're waiting for, is the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's saying, that's what he's saying. He's like, you think your salvation is in Caesar, but that man, even if he was good, he is limited. He's broken. He's small. He's just a human being. He's just made of carbon, molecules, and things like that, like you are. Right? His brain will deteriorate eventually. Like, he's just a normal human being, but the real Savior we await from heaven is the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? That's what he's saying here. And what he also reminds us is that this Savior is powerful to bring real transformation to your life. Right? He's saying this Savior can bring real transformation to your life. At best, your political Savior might change some laws for you. It might change some economic realities for you. But this real Savior has the power to transform your lowly, human, earthly, degrading body into the glorious, eternal, never-fading body that you will have forever. I mean, think about that. All of us, whether you're 25 or you're 75, you know the effects of age, the effects of our habits, they're going to affect your body. And stay by it. No one's going to beat out time and death. But he said, yeah, we have a Savior from heaven who can overcome even that, because he's that powerful. And he tells us, right, that this is a powerful one who will subject all things to himself. All things. Right, earlier in Philippians, if you follow in the track, in Philippians chapter 2, this is what he said about Jesus. Therefore, God has exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And you know what this means? This means that regardless of who is elected for president in our day, both Biden and both Trump, they're going to bend the knee, and they will confess one day that Jesus Christ is the true Lord, that Jesus Christ is the true commander of the nation. We got to have that perspective, right? Like that the people that were elected, they have some power, but all of that power is derivative from the Lord Jesus Christ. And everyone will have no choice but to recognize that he is a true Lord. He's saying, we have that kind of confidence. That's why, as citizens of heaven, we live differently and we think differently.
So even for us, I think there's a challenge, right? How do we view our political leaders? Can we have that balanced view where we do, even if we don't like them, we will respect them because we believe that God's sovereignty is placed on them. And yet we never idolize them because we know that they're just broken human beings like us. And we have a true commander-in-chief that we're waiting for. And the last thing we see is that as we continue this, is that our lives should align with Jesus. Our lives should align with Jesus as citizens of the kingdom. Here, what we see is that Paul, in the beginning of this passage, says, he says, join imitating me. Right? Because you want to follow logic, because you're a kingdom, you're a citizen of the kingdom of heaven, you gotta join in imitating me and living your life like me and the example you have of other people who are citizens of the kingdom. Right? And at first it sounds kind of cocky, right? He's like, all of you should imitate me. Like, imagine if I said that. All of you should imitate me. Shave your head. Wear these polos. Like, that would be crazy, right? Like, you don't want to just follow all of these. But I think we know Paul, when he says imitate me, he's saying imitate me as I imitate Christ. As I, that's what he says, right? In 1 Corinthians, be imitators of me as I am of Christ. He's not saying you got to be Jewish like me, you got to eat what I wear, you got to like the songs that I like. He's saying imitate me in so much as I'm following Jesus Christ, as I'm living my life in a way that is bringing glory and honor to him. And there's ways that he's giving us, not just himself as an example, but he's saying, you have people in your life that you can look to and follow their examples as mature Christians. Right? In the book of Philippians, he talks about how Timothy is a good example, how Epaphroditus is a good example, and how ultimately Jesus Christ is our good example. And if our lives are going to be aligned with Jesus, then we have to have good examples in the faith. And I want to challenge us, no matter how young, no matter how old you are, who are those mature believers you have in your life that you're following their example? You see how they treat their family and their children and their siblings. You see how they treat other church members. You see how they treat their neighbors and strangers. You see how they treat the people around them. Who are those people you're learning from? Because Paul's saying it's so important. He says, keep your eyes on those kinds of people. Right? Not like just checking on them once in a while, right? But keep your eyes on them. Stay focused. Who are these examples that you're following as you are all learning to live lives that are aligned with the kingdom of God? And so we got to keep our eyes following the examples of people. Who are those people? For some of us, it might be we're blessed with mature parents in the faith. That's a blessing. And as much as you might rebel against them sometimes, you gotta see, man, how can I learn from the God-honoring, Jesus-loving parents God has given me? For others of us, that might not be our blood, that might not be our family. But who are the other elders in our lives that we can look to? They might be in your community. They might be in this church family. They might be in other church families. Who are the people that you can learn from? And if you don't have any people that come to mind, then why not? We can't just rely, like I said, you can't rely on celebrity pastors to be that example. You don't know how they live all the other hours of the day when they're not on a stage or writing a book. Who are those living, breathing, walking people that you can follow? And then, of course, we do have examples in the Word. We have examples of Christians who have come before us from all around the world. You can learn from their example through their writing, through the things that they write, their biographies. There's other people you can learn from as well. The second thing that we have to do as we align our lives with Jesus is that we have to keep our minds on the things above. Paul puts that contrast out there. People who are living in their life against Jesus, they're focused on earthly things. But in Colossians 3, he says, set your minds on things above. Right? For those of us who are citizens of heaven, we're not just caught up with all that is going on around here. Not just about what we will eat or what we will drink or what we will wear. That should not be the main concerns of our lives. Right? But Paul is challenging us, keep your mind on the things above, on what God cares about, on what God commands us, on how God wants us to live. And I think this is hard in our day. Right? I am guilty of checking my phone like thousands of times probably a day. It's so easy to be distracted. It's so easy to keep my mind on things that are just earthly. And here, Paul's rebuking that and saying, no, we have to keep our minds on the things that are heavenly. That's why even for our mission team who's here with us, we've been trying to memorize 1 Colossians. And it's humbling, Colossians 1. And it's humbling because I realize how bad my memory has gotten, how hard it is to just focus on a passage of scripture. But things like that, memorizing God's word, right? Hiding it in our heart so that we might not sin against him.
Amen.
And that is the challenge for us. I think sometimes we have a false sense of security because you can whip out your phone and you can just look up the verse, right? But what happens when your battery dies? You lose access to the word of God. And what happens when you got no signal? You can't look up those passages. You have to know it. You have to be memorized. You have to have that word written in our heart. And for some of us, maybe that's the challenge today. Say, man, how can I set my mind on things above? One way to do it is by memorizing God's word. One thing I would love to do is memorize a whole book of the Bible. Now, I think that should not just be me. It's not just a pastor, right? It's for all of us. We are all citizens of the kingdom of God. Let us have his law on our hearts.
Yes.
That's what he says. Those who meditate on God's law day and night, that's what it means to be blessed. You can know all the NFL statistics in your life. It's not going to enrich you like the word of God. You can know all the recipes for how to make your favorite desserts. That's not going to enrich your life the way that the word of God does. It just makes the scale scarier to step on, right? You got to have the word of God inscribed. That's what we are trying to do here. And lastly, is to then actually live that out, to keep our lives, our walk, aligned with Christ. I think one thing I really don't like about the election cycle is that there's so much emphasis on how Christians should vote. But in this passage, God is saying, I care more about how you live. If you vote one time, most of us, one time every 4 years. And Paul's like, no, you know what's more important? How you live. 24/7, 365, on every other day, besides just voting. How are our lives, in the daily rhythms of our lives, how are they aligned with Jesus? That's the challenge. What are the sins that we have to repent for? Maybe there are age-long sins that we have just kind of scooted to the side. It's like we pretend that God is like us and that his memory is bad. Maybe he forgot about that thing I did 20 years ago that I've never really owned up to and repented of. And bro, God has great memory. So it's all those things. And maybe it's on us that maybe there are areas of our lives we have to own up to, confess, repent. I did that. And I own up to that. Forgive me. Help me to take steps to reconcile. Well, for others of us, maybe there are things that you just ignore. Like you pretend that God doesn't know your internet browser history. Like somehow God is unaware of us. Or he's unaware of how the words you speak to your family. God knows all those things. How are we living 24/7, 365 in a way that honors the Lord? That's what Paul's saying. Don't be. It's easy to point fingers at those other Christians. And yet Paul said we have to walk in a way where our lives are aligned with the Lord. Not because walking that way is what gets you into the kingdom of God, but because we're already citizens. Right? And that's the encouragement of this passage, is that these are things we do because we're already in the family of God, because we're already citizens of the kingdom through Jesus Christ. Right? Because if we were left to our own efforts, none of us could get that citizenship.
Amen.
And some of us here, I don't think you understand how hard citizenship is to get. Mm. Right? This is just on a realistic level. Many of us, we were just born with citizenship. It's great, right? One of the things I do like about our country, you're born here, your citizenship, you did not work for your U.S. citizenship, for most of us, right? Your mama did all the pushing and the work, all you did, you were just born, and you got citizenship, right? And that's what the gospel's like, right? Jesus does all the work, and we get the benefits of citizenship, all because we just trust him, right? And so this is the gospel. We can't do any amount of work to become citizens of the kingdom of heaven. But all we do is trust in Jesus Christ, who he has done all that work. And as we trust in his work, as we trust that he died for all those sins, that he resurrected to show us redeemed and reconciled, we believe we are citizens of the kingdom of God. because we're citizens, now we live in certain land. And that's encouraging to us. Some of us, I know we are weighed down by our inabilities. Right? But we know, oh man, even though I'm falling short day after day, man, I'm trusting in Jesus. I'm asking Him to empower me, to help me live as a citizen. Okay, my brokenness doesn't mean that I can't be part of His family. And now because we have that citizenship as followers of Christ, that we should live differently. And so the question that we have today at the end is, how will we live? How will we live? Are you going to live as someone who just has hope in this life, doing what you want to do, just caring about yourself, letting your God be your stomach and your belly? Letting your stomach be your God. Or are you going to be someone who is saying, you know what, I see that the true Savior is in heaven. That the only way to be with Him is through Christ, and now I want to live differently because that King died for me so that I could be part of this kingdom. That's a choice we've got to make. And I would pray that that would be our witness, much more than your voting record of who you are as a Christ follower. And I believe if you are living that way, as we're living distinctly with our lives aligned with Christ, that's going to help you even think about things like, how do I then vote? So that's the challenge for us today. That's why the one thing is, we should live differently because we are citizens of heaven. Please join me in prayer as we close out this time together. Father, we come to You. And Lord, we confess, we fall short so often of this. And we confess that oftentimes we call on You, and in our minds and in our hearts, God, for some of us, You're more like Santa than You are the reigning King over our lives. Lord, we confess that we repent of that. Lord, we ask today, would You help us to place You on the rightful throne of our hearts, and we would live as citizens of Your kingdom. And even though we are here on this earth, and as earthly citizens, we pray that it's...
They don't think obedience is a serious issue. Then their lives also, in a way, are going against the cross of Christ, right? If obedience doesn't matter, Jesus didn't have to come and die in the first place. And so there's a warning for us here to be on guard, to say, man, there are many people around us who claim to be Christian, and yet their lives go against the cross of Christ. And that's a warning not just to avoid following those kinds of people, but if we're honest, I think the challenge for us today is, we have those same tendencies to be like that. Right? We have the tendency to either be super judgmental. Right? You look back, you look at some of these young people, and you're like, man, these people don't do nothing. They don't obey anything. There's no discipline in their lives. There's no obedience to the Lord. How they view sex and how they view money is so messed up. And it's easy for us to be critical, forgetting that in our younger years, that we were wilding out before we met the Lord. That even when we loved the Lord in our earlier years, we took a long time, decades, to actually start treating people kindly, forgiving people, resolving conflict with patience. That has taken us many years to be sanctified. And it's easy for us to forget that. I think there's a warning here for us not to be too hard-hearted. And there's also a warning for us, too, not to take God's law lightly. Right? Some of us, we can be so caught up in this idea of forgiveness and grace and forget that, well, part of following Jesus means actually living like Him, actually loving those who are lost, actually thinking about how we say things, how what we write online. Now, it's wild that we would write things online that we would never say to a person to their face. Especially like you would never say some of those things to someone in church, and yet you're okay writing those things on comments. You know, we do that. That's us. And so there's a warning here. Man, we can easily profess Christ and know the right things, and yet our lives are just as vulnerable to being against the cross of Christ if we're not careful. Yes, help us, Lord. Amen. And so that's what Paul's saying. And that's why he's saying, if instead of being like that, he's saying we have to live as citizens of the kingdom, which is our second point. He says we belong to God's kingdom, right? I don't know if you know, but I'm going to ask this anyway. Do you know what LeBron James, Billie Eilish, and Vice President Kamala Harris all have in common? That's true. That's not what I was looking for. But What they all have in common is that they all like Kendrick Lamar's new song, newer song, Not Like Us, right? I don't know if you know, but in various media outlets, like, they've been seen jamming out to the song. Vice President Kamala Harris, she tried to use Not Like Us in one of the ads she had lately. It's kind of cringe, you know. But one of the reasons I think Not Like Us has been so popular, right, is there's a feeling, there's a sense of like, man, there's a lot of fakers out there being an American citizen. And this passage is challenging us to say, you may be earthly citizens of the United States or Canada or other places, but all those citizenships are secondary to your citizenship in the kingdom of heaven. And he's saying there are more important things that should dictate how you live your life. One thing we see is that our hope, because we're citizens of heaven, our hope is not in this country, but our hope is in heaven, right? Our hope is ultimately that our Lord King Jesus is going to come back and make things right. Our hope is not that the U.S. or North America just continues to be good and safe and economically powerful. Those things are nice things. Those things are good things, right? We could pray for those things, but that's not where our ultimate hope is, right? Even if our country were to fail, we should be people who are unshaken, right? That's for the history of Christianity that has been the reality for so many Christians. Their countries may have fallen, their states may have fallen, their leaders may have been horrible, but their hope is not shaken. Why? Because our hope is in heaven as citizens of the kingdom. We await from heaven a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's kind of like if we said, like, we are awaiting the true commander-in-chief, Jesus Christ, right? We're not talking about an American president. We're not talking about Biden or Trump. He's saying the true commander-in-chief, the Savior that we're waiting for, is the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's saying, that's what he's saying. He's like, you think your salvation is in Caesar, but that man, even if he was good, he is limited. He's broken. He's just a human being. He's just made of carbon molecules and things like that like you are, right? His brain will deteriorate eventually. Like, he's just a normal human being, but the real Savior we await from heaven is the Lord Jesus Christ, right? That's what he's saying here. And what he also reminds us is that this Savior is powerful to bring real transformation to your life, right? He's saying, this Savior can bring real transformation to your life. At best, your political Savior might change some laws for you. They might change some economic realities for you. But this real Savior has the power to transform your lowly, human, earthly, degrading body into the glorious, eternal, never fading body that you will have forever. I mean, think about that. All of us, whether you're 25 or you're 75, you know the effects of age, the effects of our habits, they're going to affect your body, and day by day, no one's going to beat out time and death. But he's saying, we have a Savior from heaven who can overcome even that because he's that powerful. And he tells us, right, that this is a powerful one who will subject all things to himself. All things. Right? Earlier in Philippians, if you follow in the track, in Philippians chapter 2, this is what he says about Jesus. Therefore, as we continue this, is that our lives should align with Jesus. Our lives should align with Jesus as citizens of the kingdom. Here, what we see is that Paul, in the beginning of this passage, says, join in imitating me, right? Because you've got to follow the logic. Because you're a citizen of the kingdom of heaven, you got to join in imitating me and living your life like me and the examples you have of other people who are citizens of the kingdom. Right? And at first, that sounds kind of cocky, right? He's like, all of you should imitate me. Like, imagine if I said that. All of you should imitate me. Shave your head. Wear these polos. Like, that would be crazy, right? Like, you don't want to just follow all the leaders. But I think we know Paul, when he says imitate me, he's saying imitate me as I imitate Christ. As I follow. That's what he says, right, in 1 Corinthians. Be imitators of me as I am of Christ. He's not saying you got to be Jewish like me, you got to eat what I wear, you got to like the songs that I like, right? But he's saying, imitate me in so much as I'm following Jesus Christ, as I'm living my life in a way that is bringing glory and honor to him. And there's ways that he's giving us, not just himself as an example, but he's saying, you have people in your life that you can look to and follow their examples as mature Christians. Right? In the book of Philippians, he talks about how Timothy is a good example, how Epaphroditus is a good example, and how ultimately Jesus Christ is our good example. And if our lives are going to be aligned with Jesus, then we have to have good examples in the faith. And I want to challenge us, no matter how young, no matter how old you are, who are those mature believers you have in your life that you're following their example? You see how they treat their family and their children and their siblings. You see how they treat other church members. You see how they treat their neighbors and strangers. You see how they treat the people around them. Who are those people you're learning from? Because Paul's saying it's so important. He says, keep your eyes on those kinds of people, right? Not like just check in on them once in a while, right? But keep your eyes on them. Stay focused. Who are these examples that you're following as you are all learning to live lives that are aligned with the kingdom of God? And so we got to keep our eyes and following the examples of people. Who are those people? For some of us, it might be we're blessed with mature parents in the faith. That's a blessing. And as much as you might rebel against them sometimes, you got to see, man, how can I learn from the God-honoring, Jesus-loving parents God has given me? For others of us, that might not be our blood. That might not be our family. Those of us who are citizens of heaven, we're not just caught up with all that just goes on around here. Not just about what we will eat or what we will drink or what we will wear. That should not be the main concerns of our lives, right? But Paul is challenging us, keep your mind on the things above, on what God cares about, on what God commands us, on how God wants us to live. And I think this is hard in our day, right? I am guilty of checking my phone like thousands of times probably a day. It's so easy to be distracted. It's so easy to keep my mind on things that are just earthly. And here, Paul's rebuking that and saying, no, we have to keep our minds on the things that are above. That's why even for our missions team who's here with us, we've been trying to memorize 1 Colossians, you know. And it's humbling. Colossians 1. And it's humbling because I realize how bad my memory has gotten. How hard it is to like just focus on a passage of scripture. But things like that, memorizing God's word, right? Hiding it in our hearts so that we might not sin against him. Man, that is the challenge for us. I think sometimes we have a false sense of security because you can whip out your phone and you can just look up the verse, right? But what happens when your battery dies? You lose access to the word of God, right? What happens when you got no signal? You can't look up those passages. We have to know it. We have to be we have to have that word written in our heart. And for some of us, maybe that's the challenge today. It's to be like, man, how can I set my mind on things above? One way you can do it is by memorizing God's word. You know, one thing I would love to do is like memorize a whole book of the Bible, right? And I think that should not just be me. Right? It's not just a pastor thing, right? It's for all of us. We are all citizens of the kingdom of God. Let us have his law on our heart. That's what he says. Those who meditate on God's law day and night, that's what it means to be blessed. You can know all the NFL statistics in your life. It's not going to enrich you like the word of God. You can know all the recipes for how to make your favorite desserts. That's not going to enrich your life the way that the word of God does. It just makes the scale scarier to step on, right? Like, you got to have the word of God inscribed on our hearts. That's what we are challenged with here. And lastly, is to then actually live that out, to keep our lives, our walk, aligned with Christ. I think one thing I really don't like about the election cycle is that there's so much emphasis on how Christians should vote. But in this passage, God is saying, I care more about how you live. Right? You vote one time, most of us, one time every 4 years. And Paul's like, no. You know what's more important? How you live 24/7, 365, on every other day besides just voting. How are our lives in the daily rhythms of our lives, how are they aligned with Jesus? That's the challenge. What are the sins that we have to repent for? Maybe there are age-long sins that we have just kind of scooted to the side. It's like we pretend that God is like us and that his memory is bad. Maybe he forgot about that thing I did 20 years ago that I've never really owned up to and repented of. Like, bro, God has great memory. He knows all those things. And maybe it's on us to be like, maybe there are areas of our lives we have to own up to, confess, and repent. God, I did that, and I own up to that. Forgive me. Help me to take steps to reconcile. Or for others of us, maybe there are things that you just ignore. Like you pretend that God doesn't know your internet browser history. Like somehow God is unaware of those things. Or he's unaware of how the words you speak to your family with. But God knows all those things. How are we living 24/7, 365 in a way that honors the Lord? That's what Paul's saying. Don't be. Like it's easy to point fingers at those other Christians. And yet Paul's saying we have to walk in a way where our lives are aligned with the Lord. Not because walking that way is what gets you into the kingdom of God, right? But because we're already citizens, right? And that's the encouragement of this passage, is that these are things we do because we're already in the family of God, because we're already citizens of the kingdom through Jesus Christ, right? Because if we were left to our own efforts, none of us could get that citizenship. And some of us here, I don't think you understand how hard citizenship is to get, right? This is just on a realistic level. Many of us, we were just born with citizenship. It's great, right? One of the things I do like about our country, you're born here, your citizenship, you did not work for your U.S. citizenship for most of us, right? Your mama did all the pushing and the work. All you did, you were just born and you got citizenship, right? And that's what like the gospel is like, right? Jesus does all the work and we get the benefits of citizenship all because we just trust in him, right? And so this is the gospel. We can't do any amount of work to become citizens of the kingdom of heaven. But all we do is trust in Jesus Christ, who he has done all that work. And as we trust in his work, as we trust that he died for all those sins, that he resurrected to show us redeemed and reconciled, we believe we are citizens of the kingdom of God. And because we're citizens, now we live in a certain way. And that's encouraging to us. Some of us, I know we are weighed down by our inabilities, right? But we know, oh man, even though I'm falling short day after day, man, I'm trusting in Jesus. I'm asking him to empower me, to help me live as a citizen. That my brokenness doesn't mean that I can't be a part of his family. And now because we have that citizenship as followers of Christ, then we should live differently. And so the question that we have today as we end is how will we live? How will we live? Are you going to live as someone who just has hope in this life, doing what you want to do, just caring about yourself, letting your God be your stomach and your belly? Letting your stomach be your God. Right? Or are you going to be someone who is saying, you know what, I see that the true Savior is in heaven, that the only way to be with him is through Christ, and now I want to live differently, because that king died for me so that I could be a part of his kingdom. That's a choice we got to make. And I would pray that that would be our witness, much more than your voting record of who you are as a Christ follower. And I believe if you are living that way, as we're living distinctly with our lives aligned with Christ, that's going to help you even think about things like, how do I then? So that's the challenge for us today. That's why the one thing is we should live differently, because we are citizens of heaven. Please join me in prayer as we close out this time together. Father, we come to you. And Lord, we confess, we fall short so often of this. God, we confess that oftentimes we call on you, and in our minds and in our hearts, God, for some of us, you're more like Santa than you are the reigning king over our lives. And Lord, we confess that we repent of that. And Lord, we ask today, would you help